This podcast is brought to you by Labyrinth Marketing.
So hello and welcome to the Whole Marketeer podcast. Today's skill is a technical skill. It's omnichannel and talking about how to build an omnichannel experience for our consumers or customers, but also how to build disruptive comms. Shortly, I'll be joined by our guest, Jackie Scully. But in the meantime, let me just give you an overview as to why I think it's so important. We have moved from multi-channel, the same message deployed on multi-channel comms, to an omni-channel approach, where messages are tailored depending on where the consumer or customer is in the decision-making journey or path to purchase. Omni, meaning many ways or places, channel refers to the concept of providing a seamless user experience across all the channels, with tailored messaging to move you through the buyer's journey. We can do this now as marketers due to the increased insight that we now have and also the understanding around behavioural science and the psychology around consumers. Insight, therefore, is key to understand not only a buyer's journey of what they need to see, hear and feel at each stage, but also how to ensure that they progress through that and with tailored messaging and defining the right platforms. Today's guest is Jackie Scully. She's an executive director of a content marketing agency, Think, and it's a travel media business, Think Travel, which runs brands such as Wanderlust. Jackie spends every day trying to find and help brands and member organisations engage, motivate and inspire their audiences. With a background in editing, writing, content marketing and publishing strategy, Jackie's expertise include everything from designing omnichannel content strategies to predicting communication trends. A professional with a purpose and an advocate for kindness and leadership, Jackie believes that communication be a real force for good, with the power to change lives. Balancing a successful marketing career with volunteer work, Jackie also uses her professional skills to make every day count. Following a diagnosis of breast cancer, Jackie was awarded Points of Light Award by the Prime Minister in 2018 for her contribution to charity, and since been recognised by the Financial Times Women of the Future's inaugural 50 Leading Lights list as one of the kindest leaders in the UK business. An overall good egg. Jackie, welcome to the Whole Marketeer podcast.
Hi. I like being called a good egg. Thank you.
You are a good egg. So, welcome.
Thank you.
As always, I start with a big juicy question up front. So let's go for it. What is omnichannel to you?
I guess everything I'm about to say is put in the content marketing context because that's where my expertise is. And when I think of omnichannel, I think of marketing that uses multiple channels, but in a really integrated way with consistent messaging. I think we're all used to seeing brands say that they're on different channels doing different things. But the truth is, if they aren't all talking to each other with a consistent message, then what you get is a confusion among customers. And I think the aim for all of us as marketeers is to have those customers scream, I know this brand, and fundamentally, this brand really knows me. After all, that's what it's all about.
And speaking about brands that scream, you know, and resonate with consumers about them knowing me, who do you think is doing that well?
I have to say, I love the work of Sweaty Betty. Now, funny enough, if you look them up, they say they've been omnichannel since 2000. I'm not entirely sure. Many of us were omnichannel all the way 20 years ago. But I think what's really interesting about what they do as a brand is that they're not just a combination of channels. This isn't just clothing. It's about classes, festivals. It's a way of life and a lifestyle. You buy one of their pieces of clothing and suddenly you're part of a club. And interestingly, over the last few years, I've been invited into their Insider Club, for example, where you get access to surveys and intelligence and you get to be part of the brand design as well as being a customer. And I think there's something about that now, which is, brands aren't just the kind of passive, you know, product givers. They need to be so much more. And I think Sweaty Betty does that really, really well.
That's actually really clever. I didn't know they did that, because it gives you both, I suppose, a unique experience, a unique form of insight and co-creation all in one, really.
Absolutely. And it's about sort of brands that become lifestyles. I mean, there is a really bad way of doing it. And I think, you know, you've got to be careful to tread the right line. But I do think where brands do it really well is they accept that you've got to co-collaborate with your customers because they're the people that are going to go and buy your product. And most importantly, advocate for you in a way that you can't do with your own channel. So I think you've got to bring the customer along with you. And it's not enough now to just make great leggings. You've got to make sure that the person who's wearing those leggings feels part of a community. And I think they do it really, really well.
Yeah, definitely part of the tribe.
Yeah.
I do love Sweaty Betty, personally.
I love a Sweaty Betty discount as well, which they do really well as well.
Yeah, I do like that, actually. Instead of just going, you know, here's 15% off, it's a Chase Betty on the website and see where she lands.
Yeah, and I also think what they do with their content is really interesting. You know, you would think in classic product purchasing terms, you lead with the product and you lead with the tactics to get somebody to make the purchase. But, you know, they lead with their Instagram channels and their social feeds and they lead with people using their product. But the point they're trying to make is this product makes me feel confident. And you know what? I go onto their website and I feel this immediate sense of confidence. And, you know, what marketer doesn't want to incite that from its customer base?
And that leads me on quite nicely to the next question, which is that insight. So in order for us to be omnichannel, we have to truly understand the journey in which our consumers or customers go through so that we can tailor the messaging as well as you say, engaging in a way that they feel the brand is right for them. Do you think we have the right level of insight to allow us to do that as a profession?
Well, it's easier to gain insight, probably easier than ever, but I think it's what we do with that insight that really matters. I mean, people are coming in, yes, they're coming in from all different angles and they're giving us lots of information, but we've got to be, again, really clever that we use what we're obtaining from our customers in the right way. And I think the reason I use Sweaty Betty is I think they've got it right, but I think for every brand that gets it right, there are brands that are sort of, no, we're more than just a product, but they sort of miss the point with their customers and over-personalization. I think there's a danger sometimes that I open an email that's been so super crafted that I sort of wonder whether they've got, like, you know, they're listening in whilst I'm, you know, on the phone or using the internet. And I think there's got to be trust with a brand. And I think it's using insight in the right way to help us make decisions that feel natural to us rather than creating sort of artificial environments that make us feel a bit uncomfortable, I have to say.
So I'm hearing a fine line between kind of understanding what they're doing, but almost not being so intrusive. Is that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think everyone wants to be served. I say this, you know, everyone wants an email that gives them something that they can buy. So, for example, I say with email, sometimes there's never too much email you can send. The problem is if you send someone an email about a shed and they don't have a garden, then all of a sudden you're basically saying, I don't know this person, I'm just going to sell whatever. So I think there's an element of tailoring that really works when you actually get to know someone. But often also what we search for and the behaviours that we demonstrate are not necessarily casting a net over all the things we're interested in. So often marketeers make judgment calls about what people want to see and how they want to be served, when actually that might just be a point in time and we've already moved on to the next thing. So I think there's got to be this fine line between, using insight for good rather than just using insight to almost scare us off.
And I think that's interesting. It's the point about using insight not to scare us off, but also actually not necessarily making assumptions or, as you say, broad sweeping and then alienating consumers.
Yeah. And I think it's relevance. Everything about the work that a good marketer can do is about relevance and being relevant in the moment with relevant content and interesting, engaging material that somebody wants to pick up and read in whatever medium that is. And I think that the danger sometimes with this over-personalization is, and I have to say, you know, multiple use of my name in an email, it's really off-putting because I don't want somebody to know my name. I just want to make sure that they're serving me content that I find genuinely interesting. And I think that sometimes there are some little tips and tricks that can be really off-putting, even though you're thinking you're offering a dynamic, personalised experience.
So on that point about a engaging piece of content, what do you think it takes to build an engaging piece of content for consumers? And I think email is a really good example because we have more email, more content just generally than we've ever had before. So we know we have to disrupt every single touch point in order for anyone to even open the email, let alone engage with it. So do you almost have, you know, Jackie's magic criteria list when thinking about building content for the variety of clients that you have?
Yeah, I mean, the best piece of advice I think I've ever been given was one of my content development directors, which is you have to start every piece of content by thinking nobody wants to read what you have to say. Not that you're boring, but actually that you have to fight for attention in every way. And therefore, if you start by thinking, right, what is it that's going to make this copy really relevant, really resonate with the audience? And think most people are not looking for the content that we're sending after all, you've got to cut through. And I think what's, for me, it's all about relevance and clarity of thought, not trying to do too much in any one piece of communication. I see it all the time where departments are like, oh, I've got to fit in 5 different messages with 2 different asks, and I've got to do this and I've got to do that. The truth is, everything you do, whether it's an e-newsletter or a social media post, for all intents and purposes, the customer sees you as one person, not multiple different departments trying to grab hold of the bits of the channel that they can get. So I think that clarity of thought, not taking too much on, thinking about the recipient, not thinking about what will benefit you as an organization, is really important. And I think I see all too often a lot of we, telling and broadcasting, not enough sort of selling the benefits and actually bringing the customer on the journey with you. But I also think, I guess when it comes to sort of effective messaging, I think sometimes people get a little bit wrapped up in the channel. So I know we're talking about sort of integration across channels, but sometimes people start with the channel rather than starting with the message. And I think as soon as you start with the message, you're starting to say, what is it that I've really got to say that's really interesting? Who wants to hear this message? And then it's only then do you start thinking about the channels that you need to use in order to communicate that message. And I think start that way and you're more likely to create an integrated piece of communication rather than letting the tail wag the dog in terms of channels.
So almost flipping things around, if you will. So thinking about what the messages you want to land versus on where the consumer is and what they're doing, thinking about what you want to say and then find them in that place.
Yeah, and I think I like to call it the 5 P's, where I think unless you have a plan, by which I mean great ideas, timing of those ideas, you've got a vision that matches to your business objectives, and then you work out sort of how are you going to produce the idea, whether that's whatever channel or medium, sorry, that you're going to use, whether that's video or written through content or social media posts or whatever. It's only after that that you can then move forward to the 3rd P, which is where am I going to put this stuff? Well, where do I need to put it in order to achieve the right reaction from the audience that I'm looking to target? And I would say after all of that, one of the most important things is the promotion aspect. And I think so many content marketers and marketers in general are in danger of sort of putting all that content effort into the top of the funnel and saying, we've got all this inspirational, juicy content that we want everybody to read. And then they forget that they've got to push out that content on the right sort of social media platforms, pay to promote, sort of make sure it goes well beyond their own universe. Because, you know, I say great content's only great if people actually have the opportunity to read it. So I think often people don't focus on promotion quite as much as they should. And then the final P is perfecting what you do. So there's no point having a great plan, producing and promoting and positioning all this content if you're not prepared to learn from the process. And I think testing and measuring and learning are as important as all the other phases.
I love a model. I know you do. So thank you for that. And I suppose I'm sat here thinking, okay, the balance between, you know, personalization and not personalization, utilizing the insight but not going too far, flipping it about the message and then where I place it. Are you tailoring those messages? You know, I'm just thinking about your plethora of clients that you have, Jackie. Yeah. Are you tailoring those messages depending on when and where they are receiving and listening to that or reading that?
Yeah, and I think a lot of sort of previously publishing and communications, they often used to start with one channel and then sort of repurpose everything for different channels. And I think what we're trying to encourage people to see is, as I say, that very much more ideas first, channel second approach. So you're not saying, oh, I created a great written through blog and oh, now maybe I could turn it into a podcast, or oh, I did this brilliant feature and that landed in my print magazine or my brochure or whatever, and now you're thinking, god, I could have got some more legs out of that for some social posts and some other assets or an infographic or an instructable, dare I say it. And I think that what we're trying to encourage people to do is make sure the content works to play to the strength of the medium rather than just sort of, oh, I've got a great idea, let's just whack it out on as many channels without thinking about what those channels can deliver in terms of engagement. And I think one of the biggest ones is the sort of that whole digital edition age where everyone was like, oh, I know, print magazines are going to die, so let's try and replicate paper online. And it was just like, why would anyone do that? You know, when really what we want is content that's accessible without us having to download multiple apps and do all these things. We just want to make sure that the information we want is available when we want it. So, yeah.
And mapping those user experiences for your consumers, I mean, how many of your clients have kind of enough insight to allow them to do that?
I would say few would say they were very strong when it came to data. And I think that's fundamentally one of the problems many organizations face, is that they want to know as much as they can. And even some of our clients with insight divisions are still asking questions. I would say that I think insight is an ever evolving thing. And, you know, the last 6 months have shown that if you stand still and actually work to too much planned activity, you're going to miss the point quite quickly. And at the moment, we're learning every day from our clients. We're asking more questions than ever. I think if COVID has done anything for us, it's shown us that you, no longer should we be designing at the whiteboard, but we should be actually asking people, really monitoring behaviours and actually not being afraid to rip up the programme. I think there's a great rule. I don't know if you know the 70-20-10 rule. Where 70% of your content previously should have been planned, 20% doing more of what's worked. So you learn from that 70% and you do 20% more of the effective stuff, which only leaves 10% for what you might call agile responding to topical events. Now, I would say this year has turned that entirely on its head. And I am not saying that we should be moving as marketers to mainly unplanned activity. But I do think in order to be relevant, in order to be meaningful to your audiences right now, you need to be more agile than ever. And from that, more authentic. And I think that's a really important part of comms today.
And it's really interesting listening to your 70-20-10, because my last 10 is test and learn.
Ah.
So as opposed to being agile and be responsive, which I think is really interesting, my last 10% was always around test and learn. So it's quite interesting to hear your version of the 10%, which is really, yeah, being responsive and agile to kind of current trends and what's being discussed with consumers. That test and learn was always, you know, a new channel or a new route to market or a new platform in which to give the message to see how well it was received and it performed. So it's interesting to see a different 10.
Although what's interesting about that, and I think this is another trend I've seen this year, is that people are more prepared to try things now. I mean, we've been, you know, podcasts have just gone through the roof. People are, they're not so sort of committed to that kind of writing the paper, doing the research. They're actually committed to just getting out there and seeing if something sticks. And I love the, I call it the rise of imperfection and the death of perfectionism. And I think that's something I will really carry forward with me this year, which is that in order to be relevant, you've got to be there. And sometimes being there means you have to cut corners. You can't be perfect.
Actually
people they forget. You know, they don't judge you always on, you know, whether your copy is the most beautifully crafted copy in the world. They judge you on whether when it lands in your inbox or it lands, you know, it comes out on social media, they judge you about whether right now that was the right thing to say and do. And you know, we've pivoted into doing a lot more, you might call rustic comms, as a way of showing our customers and members that we're with them. And being with them, we thought, was way better than sat in a boardroom deciding what to say. And then by the time we've got out of the plan, we've missed the point.
And talk about kind of effective or comms that resonates to be part of the dialogue. You know, if you're briefing your team based on the client and they come back with a blog or a piece of copy, how do you know inside that this is going to resonate, this is going to perform well? Is there like this magic formula of how to develop effective comms?
Well, I think being real and being human right now, I think, are the two most important parts of communication. So I think there's always a danger to try and be too clever or do something because you've seen it worked really well somewhere else and rush something out that hasn't really been thought through. And I think you know, honesty and authenticity right now will take you a long way. I think brands need to focus less on pushing those transactions and actually being more authentic with their audiences. I think it was really interesting. There was a bit of a backlash just as we all went into lockdown, actually, where brands were trying to sort of make something of COVID and turn it into a like, but use us. And actually that didn't stick with a lot of people. You know, you do not need to buy a car right now because of COVID. You know, it was actually just taking people on a journey and saying, we're with you, we're here, you know what we do, you know what we're capable of. And right now we see our role as just keeping connected with you and making you feel part of something. I mean, I think it's not unusual to think of things like Netflix. I mean, Netflix isn't just a streaming channel, it's a club. You know, as I said earlier, Sweaty Betty is a lifestyle. It's classes. It's not just trainers and lovely socks that make you feel warm and fuzzy. And I think, you know, it's really interesting. I've worked in membership publishing now for nearly two decades. And actually, membership is what all consumer brands want. They want a captive audience that makes them feel part of something special. And I've worked with those audiences for years, and I've seen how important it is to bring the audience into the conversation. Otherwise, you're in danger of being a bit cold. And right now, in COVID times particularly, there is no room for cold comms.
No, and I think that's where the rise of tribes has come from, for people wanting to feel part of a community.
Yeah, but I would say, interestingly, and quite conversely, actually, that weirdly, I think the communities that have done really well in this period are actually those that are linked to places of credibility, credible brands, heritage, people that have like a following. Whereas I think, you know, 5-10 years ago, there was just a proliferation of everyone was an expert. So you didn't need to go to a brand or you didn't need to go to a membership organization in order to feel like what you were being told was correct. And I think this year, I've seen a bit more of a shift of people seeking out proper expert tribes and looking for that reassurance, I guess, rather than, you know, finding their way onto anyone's blog and hoping it was the truth. So I think there's a real opportunity for brands in this feeling of fear.
I think you're right. I think that reassurance comes from a feeling of kind of being uncertain of the times, being uncertain if they're doing the right thing. You know, when our life's balance kind of gets tilted, that's when that vulnerability comes into play, and when we start seeking greater connection. And if you can't physically connect with people because of COVID, then you're going to seek more in a sense of community.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I mean about the sort of remembering to be human. I definitely think the brands that will succeed during this year and beyond are those that really tap into that. They don't overconsider everything. They're not pre-planned to within an inch of their lives. And they recognize that through imperfection, you can actually foster loyalty. And you've just got to be interested in your customers. You've got to listen to your customers and then create opportunities for them to interact with the brand that are meaningful and memorable.
That's great advice. I'm thinking about the marketeers that are developing and delivering those comms and content. What advice would you give them, or what skills do you think they need in addition to what you've just mentioned?
I think thrive for progress, not more paperwork. I think I've seen this year the possible in the previously impossible. No deadline too short, no project too big, no team too small. And I think that, you know, we have all learned. I mean, I think the virtual event space particularly is just fascinating. Everyone within the space of a few months is suddenly a Zoom connoisseur. They're running around running virtual events. You know, one platform provider basically didn't admit to anyone that they could only take a certain bandwidth of about, I think it was about 5,000 users at any one time. Had two events they ran concurrently. One had 10,000 users. The other one crashed. You know, we're in a world where nobody really knows. If I was to give anyone a piece of advice, I would say embrace this, dare to be imperfect. And I hope that when lockdown fully lifts and we start talking less about crisis and more about reclaiming our lives, that we don't forget what this crisis taught us about trying what we can and can't achieve. A moment early on when Chancellor Rishi Sunak famously said that, you know, we will be judged for our capacity for compassion during this period. And I think that through compassion, you can actually catalyze real change. So I would say dare to be imperfect, but also dare others to be imperfect around you too. And I think the more we can foster a spirit of creativity and where there is no failure, only learning, I think we will find marketeers being braver. I think we'll find campaigns getting only more creative. I'm excited about where that will take us.
Yeah, me too. It's almost like the permission to do things with, act with pace and speed, bring things to market quickly that don't have to be perfect, but resonate and connect.
And I think sometimes we fall foul of the fact, particularly marketeers with marketing budgets. It's, oh, what was last year's budget? Oh, how am I going to spend it again? And what do I do differently? Or worse, this worked well last year, so why would I change it? And I think now is the time to rip up the program, think differently, think about which is it of the channels? Are they really omnichannel? Are they sort of a bit in isolation and therefore you're just really all you're delivering is a multi-channel world? And I think now is the time to really challenge everything and also not be afraid to get rid of things. I'm often going, talking to my clients about what is the thing you get rid of given half the chance? And I think it's not about doing more. It's not about being everywhere. It's about being meaningful where you choose to appear. And I think there's a bravery in that. And that's what I would ask people to open their minds to different and follow through.
And I think so many people can't say what they would cut because they don't always measure it. So the measurement of effectiveness is almost interlinked into which channels you would keep, which you would cull, which ones you might want to do differently. And as you say, look at the ratio between that 70-20-10. Do you need to flex that into this new age in which we're going?
Yeah, and also I think not being afraid to sort of use the insight in the right way as well. I think sometimes people go for volume when actually what they want is quality. And I think often people see big numbers as being a marker of success. And I remember talking to one of my clients ages ago where we'd actually got 1 million users to the website doing different things. But what they weren't doing was quite transacting in the way that we all wanted. And so there's, you know, you can bring 1 million people in, but if those 1 million people aren't doing what you need them to do, then theoretically, what's the point of bringing those 1 million in? So I think being really bold in challenging what we're trying to achieve is as important as delivering content on different channels, because, you know, always ask yourself, why am I doing this? And always measure yourself on the answer to that question. That's the most important thing, because I've seen so many people get so tripped up by looking for the wrong analysis and insight and doing the wrong things as a result.
Yeah, quality, not quantity, as they say.
Absolutely.
You've given us so many top tips and advice throughout today's podcast. As we end all of our podcasts, we ask you, what one piece of advice would you give to marketers of today?
Of all the things I've said, I think it would be to be compassionate to those around you in everything you do, in the way that you communicate, in the channels you use to communicate, in the messaging that you use to communicate, because you will, right now, people are looking to feel connected. They can't, they're lost in a sea of Zoom calls and fake news, and they want to look for you for genuine, meaningful connections. So lead with compassion, and then you will see meaningful interactions and meaningful data off the back of those interactions.
Brilliant advice. Thank you so much, Jackie, for your time today.
No worries. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to the Whole Marketeer podcast. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please do click follow below for more weekly podcasts. Thank you.